Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Scripture for your reading, Matthew chapter 19, verse 26. And Jesus looked at them being the disciples, and he said, "With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Turn to your neighbor and tell him there's a few things that God can't and won't do. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Last session, we talked about that God can do anything, but that God won't do some things because he is bound by his word. Every once in a while, for you Apple users out there, if you have an iPhone, if you have an Android, I'm sorry, you'll get out of the wilderness one day and join us in the promised land. Every few months, I get a terms of agreement that's sent. You got it today. I haven't looked yet. It's probably sitting in my box as well. But you get a terms of agreement. Now, Brother Michael, you just outed yourself that you got it. Did you read the terms? You just clicked yes. That's what I do. It's like 38 pages, y'all. There's no telling. I might have given away my house, my kids, my car. But I feel like a lot of us as believers, we take the 66 books of the Bible, God's holy word, God's inspired and God-breathed word. Every word is true. And we just say, yep, I agree to it all. You might agree to it, but unless you know what's in it, you might not be able to take advantage of the promises of the word, of the weapons, come on, Living Way, of the declarations that are in that terms of agreement. The day you got saved, there should have been a desire, and I still pray this prayer over my life, and I've been walking with God very closely since I was 18 years of age, and so for the past 22 years, man, that makes me feel old to say that. For the past 22 years, one of the prayers every day in my life, still to this day, I prayed it this morning, is God, give me a greater desire for your word. Let me desire your word at the point that I get lost in your word. And I just meant to spend 5 minutes, but I spent 25 minutes. I looked up and I'm running late for an appointment because what I got involved in was so life-changing and so revelatory, and the word I needed to hear. Isn't it amazing when you really dive into the word of God, you start reading things that you know God is working because it's exactly what you needed to hear. So it's not that God can't, it's that God won't. But there are eight can'ts. There's eight won'ts in the word of God, and we covered two last session. Number one, that God can't break a promise. Man, I'm glad, and we sing it on Sundays, promise keeper, that's who you are. I'm glad that God is not like man. I'm glad that God not only can't, but he won't go back on his word. That what he has promised, he shall perform. That what he has written, what he has declared, 66 books filled with 7,147 promises, that every one of those promises are for me and my family and for you and your family as believers of Jesus Christ. That's the written promises. But how many times in prayer has God made you a promise for you and your family? And through the Spirit, he promised you something. He promised you something about your kids, about your future, about next week, about your marriage. And those go on top of the 7,147 of the written promises. And I'm just here to remind you, and you can listen back on the podcast, I'm here to remind you, every one of those promises is for you as a believer, and every one of those promises is still in effect. None of them have expired. Number two, God can't change. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. People change. God does not. Presidents change. God does not. Sometimes spouses change. God does not. Sometimes people change. actually different people, and sometimes the people you're dealing with are bipolar. They change. God does not. Sometimes I change. God does not. Sometimes you change. God does not. Isn't it amazing that the person we look at in the mirror sometimes changes more than everything else I've already mentioned? It changes more, 10 times more, but God never changes. That's why we must sell out to the Word of God. Sell out to Jesus Christ. Why? Because I want to build my life, church, on a God that never changes. I want to build my life, church, on a Word that never changes. If I compared 40-year-old Brandon with 20-year-old Brandon, it is entirely two different people. And so I'm glad that over the last 20 years that I have built my life on not sinking sand, not shifting sand, but I have built my life on a God, in a God that never changes. Somebody say amen. Number three, new material for tonight. So God cannot change. God cannot break a promise. That means what he said he will do. And number three, God's power cannot be stopped. God's power can't be stopped. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word often used for power is gibberah. Gibberah means by force. Can I tell you that the enemy cannot force you and I to do anything? That's why the enemy uses temptation. The enemy just comes at you with a thought and then wants you to jump. The enemy comes at you with feelings and then wants you to make the decision or the action. I'm here to tell you and help somebody, and this could go right along with our Sunday series at 11 a.m., that the enemy can't make you do anything. You say, well, what about when you see somebody who is possessed? They didn't just get possessed, they were invited in. And even if they weren't invited in, they were allowed to stay there. But I'm here to tell you, the enemy cannot force you to do anything. And so when we talk about God's power in the Old Testament, gibberah, it means force, and it implies victory. I love that. That means wherever God's power is, there is an implication, and there's already an implied knowledge that we are going to win no matter what. What does that mean? That when the devil comes against you, there is an already implied power from heaven that when we say that God's power cannot be stopped, it doesn't matter what's coming this way. I'm operating from a place of victory, and the victory has already been implied. Takes your faith to a whole new level when victory is implied. That's the Old Testament, gibberah. In the New Testament, the Greek language uses the word dunamis. That dunamis is where our English word power comes from. It's the root word for dynamite. And it conveys an explosive power capable of bringing miraculous results. I love this. It's not a matter of if God's power is going to work. It's a matter of when God's power is going to work. It's not if God is going to show up. It is when God shows up. It is not a matter of if I am healed. It is a matter of when I am healed. It is not a matter of if I ever get out of poverty. There is a when I step in to the promised land. Can I encourage you? If will kill your faith, but when gives life and gives resurrection to dreams, to family, to your flesh, it overcomes everything. When? God's power is unstoppable. I love that Paul, the greatest man to ever live outside of Jesus Christ, he writes down in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That is the power, church, that we tap into when we are feeling weak. Don't let the smiles on the praise team faces fool you. Don't let the upbeat nature of your pastor fool you. Sometimes I come in here weak. Sometimes I come in here a little discouraged, but by the time I quit praising and worshiping, by the time I have a couple faith-filled conversations with believers, my weakness was a perfect platform for God's power to show up. That's why I do not get miserable when I think about my weakness, but I get a little excited when my weakness shows up because I know the power of God is next to move in my life. The afflictions that you go through are the perfect platform for God's power to show up. Child of God, can I encourage you? If you never went through anything, you would never know the faithfulness or power of God. But because we've been through some stuff, because we've been weak, because we've been attacked, because we've gone through seasons that made us uncomfortable, stressed, and frustrated, it is because we've been through those seasons that we can announce, hey, God, I'm weak today, but I know your strength is coming to me and my house. Turn to your neighbor and tell him God's power can't be stopped. God's power can't be stopped. Isaiah 54, 17. I love what God showed me studying this out the last couple weeks. Isaiah 54, 17, a very familiar portion of Scripture. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that rises against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. That's what we always stop there, but the verse goes on to say, which is probably the most powerful and most important part, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Here's one thing if you're taking notes that talks about the power of God. And we're talking about from the place of believers. No weapon will work. No weapon will work. We make the mistake of thinking that the weapons will not form. That's not what the Bible says. He says that the ones that are formed, they will not prosper. The promise is not that the weapons won't form. The promise is not that you won't sweat a little. The promise is not that you won't go through some pain. The promise is not that an army won't look at you with arrows pointed and guns drawn. The promise is every weapon that is pointed at you, it will not work. That's the promise. So when we talk about God and his power that is unstoppable, you're looking down the barrel of a gun. But God's gun is bigger. You're facing giants, but God is greater. You're facing powerful forces of this world, but God is stronger. And so when we start talking about no weapon formed against, we ought to get excited when the weapons are formed. Because there's a couple things. Number one, the devil does not attack worthless people. He attacks you because there's something valuable in you, or he attacks you because of where God is taking you. So the moment that a gun shows up, the moment that a person comes against me, I already know, God, what are you up to? Because they wouldn't be fighting me like that if you weren't getting ready to do something in me, through me, with me, for me, whatever it may be. That's one of the things that the weapon makes me think. The other thing is you get a little swagger now. When you know God's power is unstoppable, you get it's called confidence. The world looks at it as arrogance. But remember, arrogance says, look at me. Confidence says, look at God. That's why we always deflect praise. Hey, that man, you're amazing. Oh, that's the God in me. Oh, man, you sang so beautifully. That's the gift God gave me. I just said yes. Oh, man, that was a great word. Hey, straight from the throne room of God. If it wasn't me, somebody else would have given it. Always deflecting. You get some swagger when the enemy comes at you and you just start thinking, God, I know that what he's doing is not going to work. But God, I've never seen him fight like he's fighting tonight. today, this year. God, I can't wait to see how you turn this for my good. I'm talking to somebody tonight that you've had a bad 2021 and some hell has broke loose and you've had reports and maybe your mental state is not as strong as it used to be. Maybe you're battling marriage things. Maybe your family's not right. Maybe your job's not right. Maybe you don't feel it anymore and it's hard to walk by faith. But I want to tell you and encourage you, if the weapon is formed against believers, God said it will not prosper. It will not work. It will not achieve the desired result. And so that means, hey God, I'm just going to praise you. I'm going to pop some popcorn and I'm going to get ready for you to turn this. And I can't wait to see how you do what you do. How you do what you do. No weapon will work. If you know you win in the end, then you shouldn't sweat trailing at halftime. Bishop and I had the privilege of being there, speaking of the Spurs, the last time they won the championship, and sent LeBron with his cramps back to wherever he was playing. He keeps switching teams so many times, I don't remember. Miami. And I remember at that game, Father's Day, I mean, it was like a movie. There with my dad, they won their title that night. But I remember the first quarter, they were down 22-6. And I was sitting next to two college basketball players that loved LeBron. I mean, it was Jesus, the Apostle Paul, and St. LeBron, King James. And they were talking so much trash. But they didn't know that beautiful game of the Spurs in 2014 was going to show up. And we all know how it ended. Spurs won their fifth championship. LeBron had to go leave Miami, go back to Cleveland, redo another team. But about every, that was 7 years ago, about every 6 months, I go on YouTube and I rewatch the highlights of that game. It's actually still on my DVR. I'll watch it every now and then. You know what I love about watching it now? I know how it ends. And when they're down 22-6, I'm still smiling. Drinking Big Reds, eating Cool Ranch Doritos, maybe then a Dr. Pepper, and then some Dutch chocolate ice cream. That's all in one sitting. But I know that they win. Can I tell you, when we walk around with no faith, it's not the lack of faith it should scare you. It's the question of are you going to win or lose that should terrify you. I don't step out of my house unless I know I win. I don't. You say, well, what you've lost some battles. I'm not worried about losing a quarter. I'm not worried about trailing at halftime. I already know how all of this wraps up. And as a believer, I always win. You say, well, I can point some places you lost. Oh, that was then, but this is now. Don't judge me by one chapter. Don't judge me by one quarter. Don't judge me by one decade. Don't judge me by one month. Don't judge me by one season. I'm in this to win this. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. So if God promised you the end would be good, and it is not good, then it is not the end. Let me say that again. If God promised you the end would be good, and it's not good, then it's not the end. Keep believing. Keep serving. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. Get your swagger back and say, God is going to show up. No weapon formed against thee will prosper, and every tongue that rises up against you in judgment shall be condemned. Write this down if you're taking notes. Every tongue will be silenced. Every tongue will be silenced. And I'm going to help somebody. It's not yours or my job to silence them. You can't fix stupid. You can't, not only can you can't cast stupid out. I'd rather someone be demon-possessed than stupid. Because I can cast that spirit out, and they can become a new creation in the snap of a finger, but you can't fix stupid. I'm not going to argue with the enemy. I'm not going to debate with other people. I'm not going to have to answer. If you stop and throw a rock at every dog on the way to your destiny, you will never get to your destiny because you'll be chasing every dog that's barking. But I've got too much invested. I've got too much in front of me to worry about what they're saying. It's laughable. They don't know you. They don't know the God you serve. They don't know the promise of God. They don't know where you've come from. They don't know where you've been. They don't know how you pray. They don't know how you serve. They don't know what you give. Don't worry about it. Let God silence them. Let them talk. When the people around you talk, and I think Mandy said this, either Mandy or the Holy Ghost, they're very similar. And she's filled with the Holy Ghost. When the people around you talk, they let you know who they really are and who they're really for. In business, the person who talks the least does the best. Loose lips sink ships. People, this is what Mandy said, I think. People are constantly telling you and showing you who they really are. Believe them. Don't act like you didn't hear it. Believe them. If they're not for you and your God, believe them that they are against you and your God. If they are not for us, then they are against us. Well, they seem like a nice person. No, no, no. If they're not for us, they're against us. Why does that matter? Why it matters? Because we're talking about the unstoppable power of God. And if we believe that God's power is going to show up, then we've got to protect our faith, protect our mind, protect our spirit from people that don't believe like we believe. Let God silence them. Here's where this verse just takes an amazing turn. It says, no weapon that is formed will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Somebody say heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Heritage is what you're handed. Inheritance, heritage. It's what the people before you left you. You say, well, they didn't leave me $1 million. Well, hopefully you were raised in some church. Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Methodist. Shoot, I'll take Catholic because at least they believe in the blood of Jesus. And part of the reason we're here tonight is because of heritage. One of the reasons I'm here tonight is because my great-grandfather, who would have been 121 years old this year, went to a Pentecostal service to make fun of how they acted. Be careful. Because while he was sitting there wanting to do that, God silenced that move. Got him saved and filled with the Holy Ghost in that moment. Talking about my great-grandfather. He used to preach out under tents. And he used to preach out in the middle of a field, and his friends would have to sit there on a stump with a shotgun to protect him because people were after him because of what he was preaching. That's a heritage. He didn't dress like me. He didn't look like me. He didn't listen to the music I listened to. He didn't watch the TV, but I've been handed a heritage, and it's why I'm standing here today. I don't know what brought you here, but you've been handed something. Don't squander it. Don't waste it. It's worth it in the end. Heritage is what you're handed. Legacy is what you leave. Leave your legacy. Your legacy. Let me break this down. My heritage would be my parents, my grandparents, my great-grandparents. My legacy would be Tyler and Jaden and my grandchildren and my great-grandchildren. So my heritage, make sure I leave my legacy, my kids, with the right heritage. With the right heritage, that we're not alcoholics, that we don't chase money, that we don't chase women, that we aren't so political that we can't be purposeful. I'm preaching to somebody. Make sure that your legacy is left with the right heritage. Well, Pastor, you don't know my family. My family doesn't have the testimony. It can start brand new with you. Start a new lineage. Start new tradition. Start new heritage. a heritage of faith, of hope, a heritage of a Holy Ghost, heritage of the Word, heritage of worship. What are you leaving those people? Power, heritage is knowing the enemy's weapons won't work and the enemy's mouth will be silent. He said that's the heritage left to the servants of the Lord. There's somebody in the room or watching online that says, Pastor, I want the weapons to not work. I want the enemy's mouth to shut up. And I'm a believer. I'm a lover of God. I come to church. Coming to church and serving God are two completely different things. The devil comes to church. He's here right now, distracting you with your shopping list on Apple Notes. You're trying to see if the Astros pulled it out. They're going to lose in 7 games. And you've been distracted. You coming to church is not the issue. It's you becoming the church that the enemy's trying to stop. And I want to encourage you today that no matter what is going on around you, until you start serving the Lord, He doesn't have to make sure the enemy doesn't work and the enemy will be silenced. That is a heritage. That is an inheritance to people that serve God. Serving God doesn't happen on just Sundays and Wednesdays. Serving God happens at 6 a.m. on Monday morning. On Wednesday afternoon when you're busy, on Friday night under the lights of Judson High School Stadium, you need to know that wherever I am serving God with my life, with my testimony, with my breath, with my words, wherever I am. That is how I'm serving God. I'm almost out of time. Power, heritage, what we leave is knowing the enemy's weapons won't work and the enemy's mouth will be silenced. That is the unstoppable power of God. Let's do one more tonight. Number four, the fourth can't. God's church cannot be stopped. God's church cannot be destroyed. Not the building. Come on, church. We could build more buildings. We're not talking about steeples. We're not talking about stained glass. We're not talking about hallowed ground that we call church. Can I tell you that we could be out of the parking lot right now and be having just as good of a time? We could be somewhere else across town, and as long as we're together worshiping, it can be just as powerful. The church building is a central location that's always the same, so we know, hey, on Sunday mornings and Wednesday night, this is the address I go to. I know when I go to Living Way, I'm going to see Brother Jerome. I'm going to see Pastor Becky. I'm going to see Sister Cindy leading. I'm going to see Brother Bo at the console. I'm going to see Brother Brian running cameras. I'm going to see Brother Charlie Green. It's something that we're comfortable with. It's where God has planted us, but that is not the church. That is a church building. You and I are the church. Matthew 16, verse 18 and 19. And Jesus said unto Peter, that thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Again, he doesn't say hell won't come against it. He said it won't win. He said whatever they're trying to do won't work. So if hell's coming against you, you're the church. They're not going to win. Well, it seems like they've been winning the last 3 days. Your life is longer than 3 days. Well, it's been a tough October. Your life is longer than 20 days. Well, it's been a tough 2020 and 2021. Your life is longer than 20 months. Can I tell you that as a believer, if you put your faith in God, if you are focused on Jesus, hell cannot win. The war is what we're trying to win. The war is what we're attempting to win. It's not the battle. I want to win every battle, but I'm going to lose some along the way. But I know as the church, Pastor Beck, if you'll come, this is a powerful principle. On this powerful principle, I will build my people, and hell shall not prevail. What principle? The principle that Peter shared, that you are Christ. Jesus is Christ, Son of the living God. What makes us different from other so-called religions is that our God came to us and everything he said he did. That Jesus is the Son of God. That no one, even if they had done the things he did on the cross, it would have been a waste because they weren't God's only son. So the principle is that Jesus, You're not just a good rabbi, teacher, law professor. You're more than just a good man. You're more than someone who worked miracles. Jesus, you are Christ, Son of the living God. I'll make a big deal about this until the day I die. He's not your homeboy. He's so much more. So much more. Don't dumb him down to the knuckleheads you grew up with. You call them homeboys. He's not the same. You don't call anybody Savior. You shouldn't call anybody Lord. You shouldn't call anybody King. You shouldn't call anybody, come on now. Jesus Christ, that's the principle, Son of God. Said, upon this rock I will build my church. Church is people. It's the believers, followers, and disciples of Jesus Christ. Man, I wish I had more time right here. Disciples of Jesus Christ means followers who are disciplined. Discipline means we don't do everything that they do. And when I say they, I'm not even talking about heathens. We don't do everything that other believers say it's okay to do. We don't go to certain places. We don't talk certain ways. Come on now. There's things we just don't do. Why? Because I am a disciplined follower of Jesus Christ. It will not prevail. Prevail means it will not have strength. It will not have power. It will not have influence. I love that word influence. It means something to me in the season I'm in. I love influence. I believe that God wants the church to have more influence. Not only have more influence to reach people with Jesus Christ, but to have more influence to where, like, City Hall starts calling us, hey, we need you down here casting out devils at the jail. Influence where doctors are like, hey, Living Way, can you send about 30 of your members to come pray for everybody up and down these halls? We heard of what's going on. You said that would never happen. Oh, with the right influence? Let me tell you something. You get about 30 people healed of cancer in 1 week. You get about 5 on one Sunday with HIV and AIDS, and you get them healed. I promise you, doctors are going to show up. CNN is going to show up. Dateline is going to show up. And they're going to say, how are you doing what you're doing? I said, hell will not influence you, but you'll influence all of the earth. The Jesus effect, the Jesus influence. Stand on your feet. The principle on this rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's built on Jesus. God's church can't be destroyed. God already proved, if you kill me, I come back to life. If you tear it down, I'll build it back again. He proved it in Job. If you take everything they have, I'm going to give them double. How many of you know if God doubles you up every time the devil steals from you, the devil's going to finally say, you know what? I don't know if I want Brandon to quadruple up. Because every time I attack him, God gives him double for his trouble. I want to encourage you. The church is unstoppable. You say, well, are you worried about the way the church is? I'm not worried at all. We've not seen our greatest day as the church. Not Living Way, the church. We've not seen our greatest day. We are going to live to see times that they're fighting to get in this building on a Wednesday night. That every seat will be filled. And not just filled with people with their arms crossed looking at. I'm talking about filled to capacity, altars filled, 5-hour services. You say, I don't want to see it like that. You're going to see it like that. No one's going to be worried about everything. The church can't be destroyed. And aren't you glad you're a part of it now? So that when it fills up, you can say, yeah, what took you so long? I was here on opening night at Spurs. It didn't matter. I was here when the Cowboys were playing. It didn't matter. I've been a part of this thing. I want to open these altars right now for those of you. Two things. You need the power of God to show up in your life in a real way. I want to pray with you today. I believe it is. I believe it's going to show up in a great way today. I believe that God's power, whether it's your marriage, your family, whether it's you just need God to shore up some things mentally, some things spiritually, some things emotionally. God's got you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to stand.